Morning. How's it going? Everybody dry? Yeah? Everybody? All right. A little rain. Not too much. All right. Good deal. Oh, man. All right. Y'all had a good week? Everybody had a pretty good week? All right. Decent. Nothing crazy going on, right? Okay. Good. All right. Good to hear. All right. If it's your first time with us, my name is Phil, and I am the pastor here, and we are so glad that you have decided to join us for worship here today. We strive to be a gathering where people far from Jesus can experience him. If y'all know it, y'all can say it with me. It's okay. Experience him, have a change in their life, which does what? Changes the world, all right, and we believe that to be so, and I hope that you get to see that this morning. Now, last week, we finished up a sermon series that we were rocking out, and it was called the what? The gospel. That's right, it was the gospel, and so we had to understand, have a solid understanding of the gospel before we can do what? Share the gospel, which is, guess what? That's what we're going to talk about now. All right, so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at a sermon series called One Small Step. All right, and that's going to encourage us as a faith family to take one small step together as we share the message of the gospel with others. Please understand that I know that in the realm of church life, all right, we had there was a time where we called this something. When we share the gospel, it starts with the letter E. You probably know it. It's a big, big word. It's called evangelism. That's right. Okay. So evangelism for a long time was kind of like a program, all right? It was a series of programs. You might have even been through one of these programs called Evangelism Explosion. There were some others, all right? There was Share Jesus Without Fear, all right? There were several of these programs, and what happened was each time that another program came out, guess what happened? Fewer and fewer people were believing in Jesus, and to me, that just didn't really add up. And so as a result, what we are going to do is really journey through together how our evangelism is really an outpouring of our following of Christ, and that we are going to challenge one another to take one small step heading in that direction together. And so before we get started, let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. Lord God, please be with us as we study your word this morning. God, please allow your Holy Spirit into our hearts to just work and change and shape who we are, God, so that we may just be more like you and less like us. God, as we strive to be followers of you that do just that in sharing our story, God, may we be so bold. May we be encouraged this morning to do that. And we ask all of this in your name. Amen. All right. So this morning, here we go. We're going to get started, okay? And we're going to learn some lessons from the woman at the well, all right? Now, I know that you might think of the woman at the well, and you might think, oh, well, I know what she's known for. Well, guess what? You might not know what she's known for, and so we're going to kind of rock that out this morning. So, but if you have your Bibles, and I really hope you do, go ahead and open them up to John 4. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to see three things. We're going to learn three lessons from this wonderful woman at the well, all right? The first thing, and if these things sound familiar to you, that's a solid win, all right? So if you want to get out your worship guide, there's some fill-in-the-blanks there. The first thing that we're going to see from this woman is that she experienced Jesus, all right? So that might sound a little familiar to you as we kind of look at who we are as a church and the direction we're heading, all right? This woman at the well experienced Jesus. And so I'll go ahead and open up to John 4. And what we're going to try to do this morning as I set this up is kind of see her overall story and not the thing that we necessarily remember her for. So check this out. All right, so it starts out, and John's opening up and kind of showing us what's to take place, and Jesus learns about these Pharisees. And the Pharisees, all right, what are they doing? All right, the Pharisees are upset, right? The Pharisees are upset. Check this out in verse 1. This is what it says, and this is why they were upset. When Jesus learned that the Pharisees heard that he was making and baptizing more disciples than John. So the Pharisees were upset that Jesus was doing what? Making disciples. So it's important for us to recognize that Jesus did what? He made disciples. All right, but even when we keep on going, just a little verse or two down, guess what we find out? That Jesus wasn't the one actually baptizing them, that his disciples were doing that. And so Jesus made disciples that did what? Made disciples. All right, that's kind of a big deal. That should not sound strange to you. That should sound very familiar to you. As we, as our mission is to train everyone in our faith family to make disciples that make disciples where we live, work, and play. So that should be an encouragement to you today. Now, when he finds out that the Pharisees were so upset, he decides to take a little journey. And so he goes from Judea and he heads north. All right. And so what we're going to look at here on the map in the lower part of the green area, that's Judea. And so he is heading north to Galilee. You cannot see Galilee on our map because he's heading up through it. And he decides to go through, all right, Samaria. That's okay. That's all right. We can take the next one. There we go. Sweet. All right. And so this is kind of the journey, the path that he took. Now, typically, Jews didn't go near Samarian. I just messed that one up, didn't I? All right. Let's try that again. They didn't go through Samaria. There we go. I did it. All right. They didn't go through Samaria because those two groups of people didn't like each other like at all. These two groups, they were not friends. They were not. Anyway. All right. So Jesus decides to head north to Galilee, and on his way there, he stops in Samaria at a well, and we have a little artistic drawing of what that might look like. So Jesus is sitting here, and I know you might not be able to see it, but there's some steps there, and one of my middle kids, she said, who's the angel floating? Not an angel, that's the woman at the well, okay? She's drawing water out of the well, just an artistic drawing, not a big deal. She's like, no, it's an angel. And I'm like, no, anyway. All right, kids, right? You can't argue with them sometimes, can you? All right, so Jesus shows up, all right? Jesus shows up and he is sitting there, exhausted from his journey. He's sitting by the well and the woman comes up to him. And as the woman comes up to him, what does he say to her? He says, give me a drink, all right? And so then she responds and is kind of like, why are you even talking to me, all right? Our two clans, they don't really hang out, okay? We don't really speak to one another. And so just in case you understand, Jews, Samaritans, they do not get along. They have a strong hatred for one another, all right? They were even considered worthless half-breeds, okay? So that's not a good term of endearment, is it, right? All right, y'all remember the Good Samaritan, right? The journey that he went on, that the Levites even crossed on the other side of the road. They hated each other, right? She's reminding Jesus, not that he needs it, but she's reminding Jesus that the two groups don't really get along. And this is how he responds to her. Check this out in verse 10. In verse 10, it says this. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. She replies almost in a sarcastic tone here. All right, this sarcastic tone is, she replies, sir. Now, in the original language, it might even read Lord, okay? But not like Lord God. This was more like Lord Cromwell, right, in British times, okay? So he's more like sir, all right? She's not addressing him as Lord. All right, some of y'all got that anyway. All right, moving on. All right, so she's not addressing him per se as Lord God, all right? And she's like, you know, look, you don't even have a bucket. You don't have a cup to get any water. Are you greater than our father who gave us this well, Jacob? And check out what he responds with her in verse 13. In verse 13, Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. And she replies and she says, give me this amazing water so I don't have to come here again. All right. And so then Jesus, in that moment, what does he say? He says, all right, go get your husband. The story kind of shifts for a second. All right. And so he says, go get your husband. And she's like, oh, I don't really have a husband. Now listen to me. If we're honest for a second, all right, this is what the woman at the well is known for. All right. The fact that she wasn't with the husband and she had so many husbands, right? Let me be very clear. This is not the point of the story. And this is not why she is to be remembered, all right? What was Jesus doing? Jesus was exposing her sin. He was exposing her secret. And he knows your secrets and he knows my secrets, that we are all what? Sinners, All right, that is all. We don't need to hunker down and talk about this woman any more than that. I know that you don't want to be talked about that way. I sure don't want to be talked about that way. And so understand that this is not the focus of the story. This is not what I want you to remember about the woman at the well, okay? All right, and so the point is that she was a sinner and that he spoke to her secret. She recognizes that immediately that he's a prophet, all right, that he knows things, all right? And so then she shares with him the differences between the way Jews worship and the way Samaritans worship. And he basically says, listen to me, there's coming a time, and it's really close, by the way, all right, to the point that what? The place in which you worship doesn't matter. You're going to worship in spirit and in truth, all right? And then check out how this ends. Look at verse 25 and verse 26. Here we go. Verse 25 says, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. All right, and there's some parentheses there in your translation, hopefully, and then we added this in so that our Greek readers would understand that this is the Christ. We're explaining who the Messiah was. All right, and then when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Verse 26, Jesus told her, I am the one speaking. I am he. She, in this moment, totally experiences Jesus. But the story doesn't stop there, all right? It continues on. So we see the second thing, and that is that she had a change in her life. Let's keep reading in verse 27. Verse 27 says this. It says, just then his disciples arrived, and they were amazed that he was talking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then the woman left her water jar, went into town, and told the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they left town and made their way to him. So before, all right, did this woman go around talking about the Messiah? Probably not, right? Okay, she was probably someone that was far from Jesus, all right, especially from her lifestyle and what we know about her. She was a sinner, right? So we would not assume that she goes around talking about the Messiah. But check this out. She leaves her water jar sitting there and takes off for town, all right, to get everyone to come out and meet this person that she's met. Now, I don't know about you, right? But people, when they experience a change in their life, you see something different about them, all right? You see something different about who they are, where once upon a time, you might not listen to their marital advice, but when they have a change in their life and then you start seeing how they treat their spouse, you might start taking marital advice from them, all right? So that they're having a change in how they act. And this is something different that we see in the woman. All right, so what do the people in town do? They tell us, verse 30 tells us that they go and they check out what this Jesus was all about. So she experienced Jesus. She then has a change in her life, and then we're going to see the rest of it. And the third thing is that she changed the world. Immediately she does what? She goes back to the village and she shares her story. And that, by the way, what happened? She shared her experience. And that, by the way, is the most simplest form of evangelism that exists, sharing what she experienced. And so let's see what happens as a result. Let's look at verses 39. And by the way, I know I am flying through here, and there's a purpose to me flying through, all right, this whole chapter. But go back this week, read the entire chapter. There's so much rich stuff in here. I don't want you to miss it, okay? But verse 39, all right, says this. Now, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of what he said. And they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world. Many believed. Why? Initially, because she shared part of her story. She shared part of her testimony. And so then when they went to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them and hang out with him for 2 days. Remember, Jews, Samaritans, did they get along, right? This is probably the point that the disciples were kind of freaking out a little bit, all right, because they're in the wrong part of town, all right, and you want to stay here for a couple days, yet Jesus stayed and shared with them. All right, and then check out verse 41, just one more time. All right, what does it say? It says, many more believed because of what he said. Not a few, but many. And where were they? They were in Samaria. The place, according to the Jewish tradition, is full of worthless half-breeds. Yet because of this woman who experienced Jesus, had a change in her life, she totally changed the world for those in that village to that day, because they claimed Jesus as the Savior of the world. And that is what you need to remember about the woman at the well. And so what does this look like for us? All right. We constantly ask this question as we look at Scripture. What does this look like for us? What are we supposed to do? We remember that evangelism is not some program, even though you and I have been a part of some of those programs, and we've taught some of those programs, and we've been in them, and they've helped equip us in some way. But it's not. It's an outpouring of our life with Christ. It's you and me sharing what we have experienced in Jesus. And so what are we supposed to do with this text, especially when we think in light of moving one small step forward in sharing the gospel? Here's the three things that I think we need to see. Number one is that she, of course, experienced Jesus, all right? Maybe you've not experienced Jesus. Maybe you've not had someone share the gospel with you. And so following Jesus might be your one small step. And if that's the case, we definitely want to talk to you in next steps as soon as the service is over and make sure that you clearly hear the message of the gospel. The second thing is I want you to notice and I want you to see is how long was she a believer? Right? How long did she believe what God had said before she went out and told somebody else about him? What, seconds, right? She left her water, she left what she was doing sitting there, and she immediately went and told others. So time is not an issue, whether you're a new believer or a later believer. It does not matter. Time is not a factor. We are to do what? Share his story of life change within you. And that might be your first step, recognizing that I actually need to share my story. And then what did she tell them? The third thing and I want us to see is what did she tell them, all right? Did she go through any evangelism explosion or share Jesus without fear? Did she go through Sunday school? No, all right? So education and training is not an item that hindered her in any way, and it's not something that hinders you and it hinders me, all right? She shared from her experience, and that experience was experiencing Jesus, and that is something that might need to be your next small step. And so I hope that you have seen from Scripture what that looks like for us and how that applies to our lives and how we are to tell the story. And what I want to do right now is I'm going to bring up Frank and Sherry, and we're going to see how that's a little different. Maybe sharing our story is a little different. Maybe speaking another language. All right. So Frank and Sherry, come on up here. Frank and Sherry, you know, we talk a lot about being in a network of churches. All right, then we pool all of our money together for evangelism and for the spreading of the gospel around the world. All right, we do that. That's why we contribute in that way. And so Frank and Sherry are a part of that network, and they serve with the International Mission Board. Is it on?
Well, the light.
Yeah.
Am I on? Okay.
Yeah.
The light went off, and I don't understand these things. I don't use this in my work. I work with people with my hands, not my mouth.
So Frank and Sherry have been serving with IMB for several years, and they've lived around the globe. I think they're on country number 4 or 5, but we're not gonna share where that country is at this time. But what I want you to hear from them are two main things. Number one, how they share the gospel among a different people group in a different language, all right? But also how they're continuing to take one small step so that people can experience him, have a change in their life, and I hope you see how they are changing the world for the advancement of his kingdom and the glory of his name. Frank.
We're not professional speakers. With deaf, we go to town. With a hearing, still learning. I'm Frank. I'm from Maryland. Sherry's an East Tennessee girl from Athens, Tennessee area. Now, you're going to see my hands moving and my mouth is moving. Please understanding, if you're having a hard time understanding me, so is Sherry, because when I sign and I talk at the same time, they're two different languages, and so trying to put them together is like me growing hair. It's not going to work. So, but I thank you for being patient. More important, we'll share some things, but more, we want to know where you itch. So there'll be a time for asking questions or even personally talking after the service. Whatever your desire is, we're here for that. Also, to let Jesus in on this conversation, because he's the point we're here. It's not a Frank and Sherry show. This is God's show. Sherry, she's the brilliant one. She taught at Maryville College. I carry the bags, and she's going to give me a smack. So, no, he always does this. But the point is that God is calling people to tell other people. And many of them are like us. Their skin color may be different, but they're people. We happen to be working with people that are much more like Sherry. They're deaf. And we use it with our hands. Now, people say, well, why can't you give them a Bible? Well, most deaf people, like 80% of the hearing people of the world, do not read and write. Or they may read and write, but that's not the way they communicate. And truly, right now in America, we're experiencing the same thing. Many of the young people do not read. They depend on the spoken word, on video snippets, on clips, on these things. Or a language that I have no clue. L-O-L. Are you familiar with these things? More than me. I mean, these text messages, and I'm going, what language is this? And it's all right. It's all right. It's the way they communicate. Well, we're trying to do that with people that are deaf. And God's opened the door for us to work in Africa for 16 years. And Lord willing, if he opens the door, we'll be moving to Asia next year in an area where we've actually worked in the past. No, not next year. It's next 2 months. She helps me. You'll know why. You can be praying for my wife quite a bit. So, with the deaf and sign languages, they're very unique and different. But how do you tell the gospel in these different sign languages? Well, for me, it's a lot easier because sign language is a visual language. It's hand motions. It's not just standing in one place doing mechanical translation. No. People that don't read and don't know Jesus, well, what do? A group of deaf have come together, and we've come up with something that's called the Gospel 5 in sign language. That something else has happened. And then Jesus, and then our rebellion against God, and how he's brought salvation, and also what happens after a person's saved. And so that's why we call the Gospel 5. And that's what we share with deaf people around the world. I can see you. Yep. Have I broken this thing? Okay. I'm see him moving. I'm going, I don't know if you can hear me or not. So I'm. Also, with God, he is supreme. He is omniscient. He's omnipresent. There's no one like him. He is completely other. And he has never sinned. There's no error with him. He is perfect. He is all-powerful. And he has created everything. The sun, the moon, the rivers, the land, the trees, the plants, the animals. He made everything by his power. And God created a man in his image. And from Adam, God created a woman. Also in God's image. And there they had a perfect relationship. Relationship with each other and a relationship with God. And that went on well for a time until they rebelled. And the relationship with God was broken. And God, the soul that sins will die. But the good news is that God came to earth as a man, Jesus. He is God. He has nothing wrong with him. He is God. All of us have sinned, but he loves us still. And God, again, must punish us because of our sin. We will die. But Jesus took our sins on the cross. He did not stay dead. On the third day, he rose to new life. And then he ascended to heaven, where he is the only way to heaven. Only by him can we come to heaven. But a person who hears about Jesus, they realize, I'm a sinner. There's nothing worthy in me. I must repent, follow, believe Jesus, trust him, and our sins are completely forgiven. And we find ourselves disconnecting from the earth, our old life, and we're giving a new life. But during the time, from the time we first believe, God continues to change our lives, to make us change, so that people, when they look at us, they'll see Jesus. And Jesus, he draws people together in relationship to one another as what we call a church. And there's one church. And God is Jesus is the head. And as we go about our lives, there will be a time, though, when we will die. But there will, after that, we'll be resurrected. We'll all be, and we'll look around, and all these people around, and there's Jesus, and there's the Father, and they're giving rewards to those. They're giving these things to others. But whereas in this life, there's much sin, there will be no sin there. And in this life, there's sickness. There will be nothing, no sickness, no death, no grieving. There'll be great joy there. Holding a grudge on what's happened in the past. No, these things will be put beside. There's death. There will only be life there. We praise God. We praise God continually. And that's the good news. This is the story that deaf people in America and around the world in different sign languages are learning and telling to other deaf people. Understanding, this is, like I said, this is not a Frank and Sherry show. This is a God show in lives around the world where deaf people of one sign language meet people of another sign language, and in short order, because of the nature of sign languages, structurally they're very similar, whereas here, when I'm talking and I'm speaking in English order, my sign language just went out the door. It's checked its hat and it's gone, because the structure is different. But in sign languages, many times it's the same. Now, the signs may be a little different. For example, in Russia, Bog ye lubov, God is or has love. In Russia, that's is. Here in America, that's stop. God stops love? I don't think so. But God helps deaf people a lot better than this brain does. They learn to understand his stories in their sign languages much quicker, and then give it to others in their sign languages also. So when we left America, our American Sign Language, you sort of packed away. We left it. We weren't going to kick it out. But when we go there, we learn their sign languages. In South Africa, it was learning several different sign languages. In Senegal, it was more sign language that's akin to French sign language. Where we're going, it'll be a different sign language. Now, Sherry, she goes to town. And I'm going, I wish. But God uses me in certain ways. He uses her in different ways, especially in teaching and telling other people about Jesus. I do too, but she ahead of me in the class. I'll just put it that way. Also, will you share the good news? You should have an enthusiasm. There should be some sort of enthusiasm there, folks. There should be an excitement about telling other people. And you can see in my expressions, because there is an excitement there. I want people to know Jesus. I don't want them to die. I don't want them to be eternally dead. I want them to know. And I want people who don't know about Jesus. And people are dying daily without Jesus. Why are you here? Why not take the chance, take the opportunity to tell people about Jesus in your family or people that you love, that they would know Jesus as well. I also want to add, one of the keys is prayer. I would like to share my story. I grew up in a family that were hearing, they're all hearing, and they went to church on Sundays. It's a Baptist church. And of course, there was no interpreter. They didn't sign, but I had to do speech reading, and people would write notes to me, and I learned about Jesus some there. But at the school for the deaf there in Knoxville, I'd be at home on the weekend, but I'd stay at the school all week. And there was a pastor also there that would sign everything, and so I was learning there about Jesus. When I was about 14 years old, I was at the deaf school, and one night I just felt this God touching my heart. I'm going, what's going on, Lord? And then I realized I needed Jesus. I said, I'm sorry. I'm asking you, I don't want to be alone anymore. I need you to come to me. And like the next morning, I wrote a letter home. That was the thing that all the kids had to do, was write a letter home every week to their parents. So I did so. And then I was coming home Friday, and my parents, they were so thrilled to hear of what had happened in my life. And so they introduced me to the pastor beforehand. But I didn't realize that the week this had been a time of revival services at the church building. And so he told me, I want you to come up and introduce you to the church family when you, at the beginning of the service. So I did that. When the service actually was over, he brought me up and he says, I want you to know that all these people, and they're all excited. I'm going, what's going on? And the pastor said, well, you have to understand something. This week, all these folks have been praying that you would follow Jesus, that you would become a believer, that you would be saved. And they're all excited. And I was so impressed. Prayer was the key. Prayer was the thing that made the power, that made the difference. So anytime I tell people about Jesus, there's also the need. You've got to pray. Because that was part of my experience as well. Prayer and someone telling you about Jesus in love. This is the thing. We're not telling you you're supposed to be like us. You don't want to be like me. She's pretty good. But you want to be the person that God wants you to be. That's where the joy is. That's where the satisfaction is. And I grew up in church. And I, second row, right there, that's where my family, my mom, me, she always had me next to me because I'm the one that was kicking the wooden pew and prank, prank, prank. What? See, if I'd grown up now, they'd have me on 5 different medications. I was not a bad boy, but I was off the wall. And thankfully, God brought people into my life that spoke into my life. And as I was growing up, I went to church on Sundays, and the pastor would tell the truth about Jesus. And about 8-7, they sang, Just As I Am. It's a standard hymn back then. And I came forward and I shook the pastor's hand, and he did have someone explain to me and pray with me, and it's quite possible I became a follower of Jesus at that time. I became a church member. But later, when I was about 14, someone came. Our pastor is still preaching the word, but he's got longer hair and he's got the leather fringe on his jacket and all this, and he's talking in a little different words. He's saying, "If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" Sorry, evangelism explosion. It worked a little bit. But I am not a smart man. In fact, if you know the movie Forrest Gump, c'est moi. That's me. I am Forrest Gump. I am not a smart man, but I know what love is. And sometimes where I am, God shows up. For 3 years, I struggled with that question. How do I become a believer? I knew the Bible stories. I've actually been baptized. I've taken the Lord's Supper. I've been a church member for many years, seven to eight years. But Jesus, are you in my heart? What do you do? There's my bed. There's no one around. I kneeled by it. Jesus, you know how confused I am right now. I don't know if you're there or not. You say if you're there, you're not going to leave me. But I got to make sure, Lord. I got to make sure. So as best as I can, I know you died for my sins. I believe you rose. Save me. And all those doubts, all those questions, pretty much have been, it's gone. Not because of who I am, not because of my brilliance, because of God. Silly, maybe, but that's my story. Your story, hopefully you're much smarter than I. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, that's what you can do right now. That's not just to preach at one group. I'm always me. What do we do next? What's the next small step? Well, right now, Sherry and I are involved with a group who are taking the Bible, the written word, and bringing it into sign languages, but specifically what's called sign roots. It's not a universal sign language, but it's a series of signs that many deaf people in different places understand. And so the Bible, through a team, mostly deaf, there are a few hearing involved, are taking the Word of God, putting it into sign roots, and then it's handed off to other deaf people who wrap their sign language around the sign roots. So it's people in Africa and different countries. In South Africa, there's three main different sign languages, and they're all different. In American, it's pretty much one, but there's still different signs. But sign roots is the way that more and more deaf people are hearing about Jesus. As an outgrowth of that, there's also a training center in Middle Tennessee where deaf people, some from America, but now even from other countries, are coming to receive training on how to take God's word and put it into their sign languages. The goal, though, is telling deaf that they can tell other deaf. We're not going to go everywhere. God is everywhere, but he's using people like us. Us. And so God has someone that he's wanting you to tell this week. I'll be that blunt. I'll be that, you know, whatever you want to call it. But there's someone God has been saying, I want you to talk to this person. And this week, you're going to have a chance. So I'm praying God's going to say, go to it. You have to understand something. You ask me a question, if you're expecting a short answer, not going to happen. Sorry. But let's talk.
All right. So what I hope you've seen today, or as I hope you've seen two main things. Number one, that they've experienced Jesus. All right. Number one, that there's been a change in their life. And now what they are doing, all right, 1% of the world, 1% of the population of the world is deaf. Right, within our network of churches, there are probably 30 people working worldwide with the Deaf Affinity Group. All right, so I want you to understand that what they are doing, especially in Middle Tennessee, as they are preparing other deaf to understand the Word of God, to communicate the Word of God through these particular signs, they are changing the what? The world for Him and for His glory. All right. Now, you've heard about their next step, about their one small step. And so there's a spot for you in your worship guide for you to put down your one small step this week. And whatever that is, that's why that space is there for you to actually write that down, because if you don't, you'll forget. And I know that because I'm the same way and I'll forget too. So please do write down your one small step and know that we are praying for you this week as you go out and you do that one small step for King Jesus, all right? Will you join me? Will you stand for a second and join me in praying for Frank and Sherry? Now, Frank and Sherry, after the service is over, they're going to be in the Next Steps area. If you want to chit-chat with them, they will be back there to do that, all right? Lord God, we come to you right now and thank you so much for this day and just allowing us to see how you have impacted people's lives, God, that you have impacted them in normal ways just by being obedient to you and what you have in your life. God, we ask that you continue to empower them, to continue to give them the strengths and the abilities that they need in order to accomplish their mission for you. And God, we pray they're encouraged this morning. We pray that our faith family is encouraged as we continue to partner together with others who go about making disciples that make disciples where we live, work, and play, and everywhere in the world. And we ask this in your mighty, mighty name. Amen.